take the Word of God with me tonight, please turn to the book of Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. We're right in the middle of the seven parables that the Lord Jesus was giving to these disciples and those that were gathered here. We've already given you the opening two parables, and we come tonight to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. I'm not going to get to all of them tonight. God willing, we'll finish this on Sunday evening, the good Lord willing. But I want to get to at least three of these tonight if I possibly can. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 31. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." And then skip down to verse number 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now, God willing, I won't get any further than those three tonight. I draw your attention to a word used more than once in verses 34 and 35. You'll notice the word parables. And tonight, since I've put these five parables in one sermon, that's the title of this message. Parables. Short, simple, to the point. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us tonight to be like you. May you teach us from your word. May you show us what you have for us tonight. Speak to us in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the book of Matthew, this is our New Testament book, and this is where we've come to. We're currently in the middle of chapter 13. Now again, this chapter brings out seven parables that shed light on the kingdom of heaven, which is all of professing Christianity today. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is not the same as the kingdom of God. If you're part of the kingdom of heaven, doesn't mean you're part of the kingdom of God. What I'm saying to you, the kingdom of heaven is the earthly, visible, organized Christianity. It's what you're a part of tonight. This church is part of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've already considered the first two parables. The first one dealt with the sower sowing seed that fell on four different pieces of ground. Now, in this, we saw how we are to be spreading the seed of God's word all over the place. And while most will not accept the message, remember, three out of the four were not good ground, and three out of the four bore no fruit. But even though most do not accept the message, we still have the responsibility to get the message out. It is our responsibility to sow seed everywhere we go. Let me say this to you. The only reason that our group is going down to Chile is because we're taking some seed with us and we're going to be spreading it down in the country of Chile. I'm telling you that the greatest thing you can give your life to is to spreading the seed of God's holy word here and abroad. We learned that with the first parable. The second parable, if you remember, dealt with the tares sown among the wheat. Now, in this particular parable, we considered that not all who claim to be God's child and not all who look like God's child are truly a child of God. We learn that the devil is in the business of planting his own children in the midst of God's children. However, one day the tares will be separated from the wheat. Now, we come now to the last five of these parables that the Lord gave. And again, just to let you remember what a parable is something that's cast alongside a truth. In other words, it's like windows looking into the home. As you see the building, that's one thing, but when you look through the windows and you can get a more clear understanding of what's on the inside, that's a parable. It's an illustration. It's a story that the Lord created, if you will, to set it right beside of a truth that he was trying to get across to make that truth more understandable. Now, these last five parables, this is what we're going to be paying close attention to. And keep in mind, it's so important that you understand this. Keep in mind that he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. I've already told you what that is, but I remind you, he's not talking about the kingdom of God, which is made up of born-again children of God. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven that has a mixture of both in it. It has God's children in it. Then it has intruders in it. It has invaders in it. It has imitators in it. In other words, this church age that we are living in today, while we are looking for the blessed coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rapture the church. By the way, side note, it'd be just fine if he'd come tonight. Somebody say amen right there. I'm looking for King Jesus. And I'm telling you, in the meantime, I'm talking about in this church age, in the meantime, there are believers and non-believers. In this church, it's possible that there could be non-believers with believers here. This is the parabolic teaching, the kingdom of heaven. Now, this being the case, let's notice parable number three. Now, it's number one in our message tonight because I've already preached on the first two individually, but it's the third parable that we're teaching on. It comes out in verses 31 and 32, and it's the parable. This is number one tonight. It's the parable of a grain of mustard seed. Now, let's read it again, verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now this is one of the parables, now get this. Stay with me now. This is one of the parables in which different ones of God's children have differed in opinion as to what the Lord was specifically teaching. Now, since the truce in these two opinions, in other words, there are two major opinions on this, and what I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you both of them. I'll tell you why, because both of them are found elsewhere in the Word of God. So we can get some help here. Now, let me say this. Let's consider both sides of this and receive help from each side. First of all, there is one teaching from good and godly men that says that what the Lord was teaching here is that the gospel may seem small, but its end product is one of the greatest. Some of them teach that this tiny seed grows to be so big that even the birds can find lodging in its branches. This is a teaching that shows how the message of Jesus Christ may be considered minor, but its effect is major. And let me say this to you. That is one of the teachings. I don't know which one I agree with, but I'll tell you one thing, that's pretty good right there. I know one thing, the gospel message might be oversimplified today. What I mean by that, it may not look big to this world. People might downplay it, might think it's a bunch of nonsense, but when it takes its root, it does some things that's a whole lot bigger than it seems it really is. But there's a second teaching. And most people agree with this teaching. I'm leaning towards this one. But I just don't know yet. Everybody okay with that? Because both of these teachings are taught elsewhere in the Word of God. So whichever way you take it, that truth is found elsewhere in Scripture. So you're not contradicting anything. The second one is this. They teach that this parable is saying something completely different. Now notice how the mustard seed is what's on display for us. This mustard seed is said to become a tree. You listening to me? That is completely against its nature. Completely. A mustard seed is an herb that can become a shrub but never a tree. Some teach that this difference in nature shows that there's something unnatural about its development. In other words, they say that professing Christendom, in other words, there's wheat, there's tares, there's good soil, there's thorny soil. Remember the context? They say that professing Christendom has grown so big that it welcomes anybody in. Now stay with me here. To the point that even those who are evil, the birds, can find lodging in its branches. Here's what I'm saying. This teaching to me follows the context of what the Lord is saying, because he has just talked about the seed being sown and 3/4 of the ground was not good ground. He has just talked about the wheat among the tares among the wheat. And we know in the same chapter that the birds were mentioned earlier. And the birds were a picture of the devil. Because when the seed was sown, remember the birds came down to pluck it. And then when he identified that parable, he said, the devil comes and taketh the word of God away. I don't see the Lord using birds as the devil right here, and then the next parable he gives, the birds are good people. I don't see that myself. But all I'm saying to you is you can take either one of these, and I know this. Let me just summarize what I'm saying. Because I realize somebody thinks you're just straddling the fence. Call it what you want to. Call it what you want to. Because I'm not comfortable enough to say this is what he meant, and I doubt you can say the same thing, friends. All I'm saying to you is this. Let's just summarize this. We can rejoice that the gospel does make a wonderful change. But let us all be on guard that we don't let the birds come into this church and spread their filth. Amen. That's parable number 3. Glory, get me off that. This is one of those passages I'm like, glory. Lord, the only reason I'm preaching this is because I'm preaching through this book. Amen. Parable number 4, which is number 2 tonight. Are you with me when I say that? I'm trying not to confuse you. It's parable number 4, but it's number 2 tonight, okay, if you're taking notes. The next one is the parable of the leaven. Look at verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Somebody's sitting there saying, what in the world is he teaching? That's confusing. Well, we're pretty confident on this one, friends. All right? The Lord seems to be teaching. Now get this. He seems to be teaching in this parable the influence of false doctrine that infiltrates the kingdom of heaven. While some try to teach the leaven is a picture of the gospel, some good people try to say the leaven is the gospel. Let me say this to you. If that's the case, then the leaven is penetrating everything. Has the gospel penetrated the world? No. Half the world's never heard the gospel. And we know, according to 2 Timothy 3:13, are you listening to me? The world's not getting better, it's getting worse. Amen, friends. Now, it's my contention that the gospel is not pictured in this parable by the leaven, but by the 3 measures of meal. In other words, the leaven that was hidden in the 3 measures of meal, I believe that the 3 measures of meal is the gospel. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Hold your place here. Flip back with me to the book of Genesis just a moment. The book of Genesis chapter 18. We're just going to do a Bible study here, trying to help you understand these parables a little bit here. The Lord is teaching great truths. And this truth that he's trying to get across here, I believe is this interpretation, I feel, I'm comfortable saying that the leaven is false doctrine, and the three measures of meal is a picture of the gospel. Now, in Genesis 18, verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." This is Abraham. "And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal." First time it's mentioned. There's three measures of fine meal. Same thing mentioned in Matthew chapter 13. Then he goes on to say, "Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man. And he hastened to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, on and on we could go here, but let me just say this. It's interesting that the first time three measures of meal is mentioned, it's mentioned in this chapter, in Genesis chapter 18, in which fellowship with God is on display. Fellowshipping with God is on display. And what I'm saying to you is this. Notice in our text in Matthew 13:33 that it says that a woman took this leaven and hid it in three measures of meal. Now, the first time three measures of meal was used, it was used to identify Abraham having communion, having fellowship with God. Now, this being the case, we see that there is now a woman brought out. A woman in this text. Now, a woman in Scripture. Are you listening? A woman in Scripture typically deals with a religious system. Amen. Now, notice what the woman does. She comes and she hides the leaven in the meal. She doesn't show it off. She takes it secretively and deceptively and hides it in it. Now, this leaven works powerfully, quickly, and quietly. Now, listen to me. We know the work of the gospel is not to be done secretively. We know it's not to be done deceptively. It's to be shouted upon the housetops around the world. I believe that this woman is a religious system that is trying to infiltrate the true gospel with her false doctrine. Now, to help us to verify that this is what the leaven means, then let's compare Scripture with Scripture. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible is. Now, I use commentaries. You have to eat the meat, spit out the bones. A lot of times, there's a lot more bone than meat. But the greatest commentary on Scripture is Scripture. So let's do just a little Bible study. Is this identifying this leaven taken from a woman in deceit and secret, hiding in the meal, is that really false doctrine? Is it something evil? Is it something wicked? Am I barking up the right trees, what I'm asking? Well, let's find out. Understand that symbolism in the Word of God never contradicts itself. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's not one thing here and another thing here. Unless God clearly identifies it. Now, we know that leaven in the Word of God is a picture of evil and wickedness. We already know that. Get this, in Genesis 19:3, the angels that came did not eat leavened bread. They refused to eat it. Get this, the bread picturing Jesus Christ in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, was not to have any leaven in it. Now, stay with me here. Its New Testament usage explains its use in 2 Corinthians. You don't need to turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8 puts it this way. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Now get this. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it's wickedness, it's defiled, it's ungodly leaven. In the New Testament, it was associated with malice and wickedness, while unleavened bread was associated with sincerity and truth. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, leaven is associated with hypocrisy. In Matthew 16, 6 to 12, and Galatians 5, 9, it's associated with false teaching. Get this. Leaven in the New Testament is used 17 times. 16 of those times, there's no doubt it means evil. You know where the 17th one is? We just read it in Matthew 13, 33. Now I ask you a question. Is it not highly unlikely that every time in the Old and New Testament leaven is wicked, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, just because it seems like it could be the case, it miraculously turns into something good? I don't think so, friends. All I'm saying to you is this. The bottom line is we need to be careful to see that wickedness and false doctrine is infiltrating the truth of the gospel message in Christianity all over the world today. It's everywhere. I'm talking about somebody saying, hey, the gospel message is not just Jesus. It's Jesus plus this. It's Jesus minus this. It's doing the good works. It's keeping the sacraments. It's being baptized as a baby. You know what that is? That's leaven, friends. That is leaven. That is wickedness trying to infiltrate the three measures of meal. And I'm telling you, listen to me. Let us be on guard at this church. Are you listening to me? The devil would love to get in this church and disrupt it. God is blessing. God is breathing. We are growing. We are moving forward. There are things happening for God Himself. And I'm telling you, the devil does not like it. And he has a woman. Excuse me, I don't mean any disrespect with that. I'm talking about a religious system. I'm talking about a movement. I'm talking about a doctrine. He has a woman waiting in the wings who's working in deceit and working secretively. And if they can get in and disrupt the unity, that's exactly what they'll do. You know who helps keep this church straight? You. That's who helps keeps it straight. You know sometimes who the last, I'm sweating up here. I never sweat when I preach. It's hot in here, glory. All I'm saying to you is this. Sometimes the last person to find out about a bird in the tree is the pastor. Amen. Now can I say something to you? As far as I know, we don't have any birds in this church. Glory, praise God. As far as I know, there's no vultures teaching Sunday school. There are no birds finding rest in the gospel message here. As far as I know, there's no leaven that has infiltrated the three measures of meal. But it's out there, friends. It's out there. And I'm telling you something, that it's never done in the open. It's always in secret. And it's always in deceit. And if you ever hear anybody in this church teach something that is anti-biblical, you know what you ought to do? Either go to them, matter of fact, go to them first if you want, and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going straight to the pastor. And then it's out of your hands, and let me deal with it, and we will deal with it. Amen. Let me tell you why we're going to do that. Because the gospel changes people's lives. The gospel is, I'm talking about, is the only thing that can change somebody, can save them, and send them to heaven. I'm not going to let anybody, God helping now, get into this place who's going to spread false doctrine. I hope you feel the same way about it. This is the woman trying to get leaven. Jude 1, 3 and 4, listen to this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. In other words, here's what he's saying. I wanted to write to you about just salvation. But instead he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly man, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is telling those beloved people, I want to talk to you about salvation, but I found out that there's certain men that have secretly crept in, and you're not even aware of it. And I'm telling you, that's how he works. He'll get in and start spreading these lies before you even know what's going on. By the way, the most dangerous lie is the one closest to the truth. Amen. The most dangerous lies are those closest to the truth where you have to stop and think. Is that what that really means? God never contradicts himself. I want, listen to me please, the Lord, who cares what I want? The Lord wants Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the oldest church in the state. Can you imagine that? Established in 1779. God has blessed this place. And it's going on for God's glory. But I'm telling you this, if God carries, if Jesus tarries his coming, and 100 years now, the kingdom of heaven is still going on, don't you want this church to be still holding up their old King James Version Bible? Don't you want this church to still be going in the traditional direction, no contemporary junk? Don't you want this place to keep on being soul winning and being active and trying to reach? Don't you want the buses to still be running around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Don't you want door knocking to still be going on? Don't you want the truth to still be being shouted around? Let me tell you how it happens. When God's people make a decision, excuse me, there's no woman going to sneak in here with her ungodly and false doctrine. Amen, friends. This is what we need. The Bible says in Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The devil has his spies out there. And we need to be constantly on guard. Please, ladies, understand when I'm talking about the woman, I'm not talking about you. Come on now. I'm talking about these false doctrines in the Word of God that's associated with a woman. False teaching. 2 Peter 2:1 puts it this way. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The devil's not going to wave it and say, this is dangerous, this is a lie, don't believe it, but I want to teach it to you. He doesn't work that way. He's a deceiver, friends. He creeps, he sneaks, he works in secret. That's the parable of the leaven. Then, the last one that we'll consider tonight is found in verse number 44. It's the third point tonight, but the fifth parable. The fifth parable. We've noticed the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven. Now let's notice the parable of the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure. Look at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now here we go again. What in the world is he talking about? Now in this parable we see a man finds a hidden treasure in the field. After he finds the treasure, he hides it again and sells all that he has to buy the field, knowing from verse 38 that the field is the world. He's already interpreted what the field is. He did earlier. So the field here is the world. This parable teaches that in this world there's a hidden treasure. It's hidden. Now, while there's debate exactly who this hidden treasure is, we believe it is speaking of the nation of Israel. Now, Exodus chapter 19, don't turn to it. Just let me turn for time's sake. But in Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 3 through 5, Exodus 19, 3 to 5, listen to this. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, brought you unto myself. He's talking to Israel. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be my peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The book of Psalms puts it this way. In Psalm 135:4, it says this, For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Now, when something is hidden, this means it is unnoticed. It's not out in the open. It's unnoticed. And it's not necessarily gone forever. If it's hidden, that means it's gone forever. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's lost forever. It just means that right now, it's unnoticed. Okay? Now, we know when the Lord Jesus came into the world, we know that Israel was scattered without a king. And when the Lord came to this world unto his own, the Jew, John 1:11 teaches this, did they receive him or reject him? They rejected him. He came into his own and his own received him not, remember. Now because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, the Lord, when he found them, hid them again. Because they rejected him. It's interesting here in our text that this man who found the treasure hidden, that when he found it, he hid it again. Now we know the Lord did that with the nation of Israel. And what I'm saying to you is that he has put them and scattered them to where they are unnoticed. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're gone or lost forever because, see, listen to me. He loves his people very much. And he came into the world, which is the field. And he found a hidden treasure. His people, his chosen people. I can't wait till I get to the pearl. That's Sunday night, God willing. But we believe that the hidden treasure were his chosen people, that they were scattered, they were unnoticed, they were hidden in the world, and he came unto them, they received him not, so he hid them again. But is he finished with them? Absolutely not. And yet he loves that treasure so much. Are you listening? That he bought the whole field. Are you listening? Listen to me. When one buys the field, he not only gets the treasure in it, he gets everything else. And what I'm saying to you is the Lord Jesus, even though the treasure's hidden, has given everything he has to purchase the entire field, the entire world. Can I say this? Thank God for his shed blood on Calvary. He bought the field. By the way, Israel may be hidden right now, but not forever. The Lord Jesus is not through with Israel. They have a great future ahead of them. The Bible says in Romans 11:25, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. They're hidden. They're in the dark until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And let me just make this statement. If the blessing of God will rest and continue to rest upon America, we better not turn against the nation of Israel. They are God's peculiar treasure. And he loves them so much that even when they rejected him, he just hid them. He just set them aside for a while. He's not finished. But he loved the field that they were found in. So he gave everything he had to buy the whole field. You know what that means? That means he loves Jew and Gentile alike. That's what that means. Now, am I completely accurate on this? I don't know. I'm comfortable with what I preached. A lot of times you can open the Word of God and say, that's exactly what that means. This is one of those passages, and if somebody says, that's exactly what that is and exactly what that is, and I stand leery of somebody like that. Because nobody fully understands all this, friends. But we do know that God has a treasure in this world. We know He's not finished with Israel, but we know right now, what are they? They're hidden. Amen or not, friends? They're unnoticed. But they're not lost forever. They're just hidden. Because who hid them? God did. And typically, if you hide them, you know where to find them, don't you? Amen, friends? Amen. You wait till we get to the pearl. Can I just give you a heads up? If the hidden treasure is Israel, who do you think the great pearl is, the pearl of great price? That's the church, friends. We're going to learn about that Sunday night. Amen. By the way, if you disagree with me, send me an email. Come see me, all these kind of things. I'm the first to tell you, I'm not sure if I've got it all right. But I know what I preach tonight, whether it's not exactly what that text is teaching or truths found elsewhere in the Word of God. You got that? Amen. Good. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for this night. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in these parables. Lord, I thank You for these parables. I thank You for the three that we've considered tonight, the parable of the mustard seed. Lord, help us to understand that there are evil birds flying around trying to find lodging under the shelter of professing Christendom. Help us, Lord God, not to let them find shelter here. And I pray, Lord, that You help us to keep the leaven out and help us to understand the importance of Your hidden treasure. And in that, see Your great love for the whole field and that You gave all You had for the field. And help us, Lord, to rejoice that even we who are not Jews, You loved us enough to give everything You have to buy our soul. Help us to be faithful to You, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're playing through softly. Kind of a unique passage to give an invitation on. This is more of a Bible study tonight in this passage. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you tonight in that you want to make sure that you are really truly a born-again child of God. You know, that's really what the Lord's dealing with throughout the book of Matthew, at least this far, is He wants people to know that they're saved, not just think they are. Could be in a crowd this size that you don't know for sure that heaven's your home. If you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, if there's never been a time when you've invited Him to come into your heart and forgive your sin, repent of your sin, and receive Christ in Christ alone, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about being on guard for the birds flying around. Maybe you know somebody who's spreading false doctrine. Maybe you personally know them. Maybe God's speaking to you about trying to help them, but not giving your life to them to influence in any way. Friends, it's not unkind not to give your ear to untruth. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you know somebody's trying to pump you full of ungodly things, and things that are anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-gospel, you better separate from people like that. They'll destroy you. They'll pollute your mind. Maybe God's dealing with that. I'll just pray with you, and if the Lord's dealing with you, we'll just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, help us now, I pray. If somebody needs to respond, help them to respond. May the will of God be done this night in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you and you want to come, maybe it has nothing to do with this sermon, but God's speaking to you, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and help you. Come now, would you do it? as she plays through, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way." Father, take this thought and use it in our life. If somebody's here that does not know you as Savior, I call upon you right now to make that person miserable until they turn to you in salvation. If they need help, help them to seek it. We'll be happy to help them and guide them to you as the Savior. And help us, Lord, here to be on guard, realizing that there is leaven that tries to infiltrate the three meals of bread. There are birds flying around that are trying to find lodging in a place where they think they're safe, just so they can spread their filth. And help us, Lord, to understand the importance of us loving your people, the Jew, helping the nation of Israel as much as we can. Thank you for buying the field. Thank you for buying us. Help us to be faithful to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. You're dismissed tonight. Please be back on Sunday. Men, if you can come help on Saturday, that would be much appreciated. Mm-hmm.